Sunday Morning's Thoroughbred Magazine. For the next hour, we're talking horses. Here's Joe McKinnon.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Talking Horses. The foaling season is in full swing at thoroughbred nurseries all over Australia. Many of our listeners are involved in some way, shape or form. I hope you're all holding up okay during this important period that involves lots of hard work and that your new arrivals go on to be stars of the racetrack. There will be plenty of expectation around one particular arrival this week. On Friday, champion mare Black Caviar had her fourth foal, a filly. The mare's owner, Neil Werrett, will be our first guest on the program. Also on the show, we catch up with James O'Brien, the president of Thoroughbred Breeders Victoria, to discuss the Vobis Sires initiatives that have been strongly embraced by racing participants. We'll also talk to Darley's Alastair Pulford about the success of the Sepoys. And Darren Dance from Australian Thoroughbred Bloodstock shares the fascinating story of his latest import and Melbourne Cup hope, Tiberian. The French galloper is the son of a teaser. But first, the news we all welcomed on Friday night, the arrival of Black Caviar's foal.
RSN 927's Talking Horses with Joe McKinnon.
Biggest news of the week in breeding and racing in Australia was the fact that Black Caviar had her fourth foal in the Hunter Valley on Friday. And she gave birth to a more-than-ready filly. And she's doing very well by all reports. But for the latest, and to celebrate the news, Black Caviar's owner Neil Werrett joins us on Talking Horses. Well, firstly, Neil, congratulations.
Yeah, thanks, Joe. No, it was great thrill to be there to see the new arrival. And I must say, the foal is probably the one that's most like a mum of all of them. She's a very leggy foal, and we were talking to all the owners over the last few hours, and we're all pretty excited about the new arrival.
Mm. Well, a picture was put on the internet of her with the foal, and you're right, you can, from that image, see a distinct similarity, and Black Caviar looks very proud of herself.
Yes, she does. I mean, when you see the two together, the collar's just, they're very similar collar, very similar build. She's a lot leggier than the first three, a lot bigger foal, and really thrown to mum. So it's quite different, because the other three have all really more thrown to the sire than the mum. And this one has definitely got mum all over her.
Well, hopefully that is a good sign.
You never know, do you?
No. Well, the main thing is that she's arrived safe and well, and there will be lots of expectation on her as she gets older and gets closer to her first race starts. Black Caviar herself, you were there for the foaling. How was the process? Was it all pretty straightforward?
Very straightforward. It was about 30 minutes from when she broke water to the horse actually walking, the foal walking. So
wow,
you don't get too much smoother than that. She was very, very good, as she has been in every one of her pregnancies and births. She's just a natural. And, while she's giving birth, she's still eating. So she loves her food, as everyone would know. And she just eats, takes one mouthful and then delivers the baby and then goes back to eating again. So it's quite bizarre.
It is, and it's interesting because a lot of the champion race mares of the past have had a tendency to be a bit cranky, a bit difficult, a bit unfriendly, but Black Caviar's quite the opposite.
Yeah, no, she actually is a really good mum, and, with it, after the foal started walking, she was very onto her and to get her to drink the milk, and she was drinking milk within probably 15-20 minutes of her walking too. So and she just stood there and made sure that she was drinking and in the right position, and you know, it was it was really good to see.
I bet it was. Do you get a bit emotional?
I don't know about emotional, but it was very exciting. Because you get a little bit worried that nothing is going to happen. I suppose with every horse, it doesn't matter whether it's by caviar or any mare, but with her particularly, it's very good when it's all delivered and the bolt comes out and so quick and starts walking around.
Well, this is her fourth foal. Of course, she has Osietra, who won a race at Geelong last month and is entered for Flemington on Wednesday. So she's the first winner. Of course, she's got a Sebring colt on the ground, a two-year-old, and a Sitzel filly she had last year.
Yeah, that's right. All going well. David's got Osietra running in a filly's race down the straight, over 1,000 on Wednesday. So we'll be all there on Wednesday, which is great for a meeting to be midweek at Flemington. So, and hopefully if all goes well, she runs well then she can race probably even Manukato night at Mooney Valley. There's a fillies race at Mooney Valley. So that would be exciting to run that night.
How's she done since that win on August 11 at Geelong?
Yeah, David's very happy with her. I spoke to David yesterday and he's very happy with her that he'll have her ready for Wednesday. It's kind of, there's also a couple of three-year-old fillies races over the carnival, so he was keen to see how she went down the straight. We know that around the bend, she's pretty. She's got a turn of speed that will make other horses have to chase the last bit, particularly at Mooney Valley. We're really looking forward to seeing her on Wednesday.
And after that win at Geelong, David did suggest that she had potential to be a black type performer. So I guess this on Wednesday will be an important stepping stone towards achieving that goal.
Yeah, that's what... David's had a plan to run her a month apart and then to give her time to... I mean, he's got the facilities up at Euroa that allows him to train her from paddocks and also the facilities up there that are really good for a horse like her particularly.
Because she's not a big filly, is she? A daughter of Exceed and Excel, she's a bit different to mum.
That's right. I mean, you look at the foal today that was born yesterday and you see it today and then you look, remember how the Exceed was a lot smaller and compact than this foal, and whereas this the new foal I would expect will be, you know, over 16 hands by looking at the foal today, whereas the Exceed is about 15 and a half hands. So that's a big difference, but and you know, in size and in conformation.
And how's the Sebring colt going that Team Hawks are taking care of?
Well, it's in the stable, and it's about 3 weeks away, 4 weeks away from having a jump out. I wouldn't expect him to get to the races too early, but I think the Hawks team are looking at trying to get a jump out in this prep and then put him out until later in the year.
But he's, and what's his racing name, Neil?
Yeah, his racing name's Prince of Caviar.
Well, let's hope he lives up to that.
Oh, well, we hope so, that's for sure.
Enormous pressure, isn't there, on these horses to perform. How are you all handling it as a band of owners?
So far, so good. Everyone's pretty excited about Wednesday and also seeing the new colt come out probably in about 4 weeks and having a jump out. So it's been good. I think every owner's, or all the owners are still very close, and we're all pretty excited about getting together on Wednesday.
I know she's only just had the foal, but the burning question will be, who's Black Caviar going to this time round?
That's a good question. we don't know.
Really?
We're going to wait to see what happened with Bowl. And I would expect that in the next week we'll make a decision.
Yeah, it's an interesting challenge you're faced with making that decision, isn't it?
Yeah, well, we look at all the bowls today and where the stay-ins are going. I mean, the Schnitzel filly is quite a long filly, even though she might not have the height of some fillies. She's got a very good stride on her, and she's a great, you know, the farm really rates her strongly. So, you know, going back to Schnitzel wouldn't be the worst thing, or going back to Morton Ready, now that you can see what Morton Ready can produce. So I'm going to be guided by our experts at the farm over the next few days.
Yeah, well, good luck with that decision. I'm sure whatever one you make, it'll be the right one in the end, but Schnitzel and More Than Ready are the short-priced favourites by the sound of things.
I wouldn't also... there's a couple others in the frame, including I'm Invincible, and he's been doing a good job as well.
Yeah, he sure has. Well, Neil, thanks for joining us on Talking Horses to share the news and the experience. Congratulations once again, and good luck with Ossietra on Wednesday down the straight at Flemington.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks for having us.
That's Neil Werrett, Black Caviar, of course, giving birth to her fourth foal in the Hunter Valley on Friday. A filly by More Than Ready. Rose Hill Gardens yesterday played host to the Group 1 Golden Rose meeting and a strong undercard that included the Group 3 Colin Stephen quality over 2,400 metres, won by the Richard Friedman-trained Auvray, a 7-year-old gelding by Le Havre out of an in-the-wings mare, Amiara. The Shannon Stakes, a Group 2 over 1,500 metres, was won by Gerald Ryan's Washington Heights, a 6-year-old gelding by Commands, out of an octagonal mare, Demanding. He was sold through the 2013 Magic Millions Gold Coast yearling sale for $300,000, and he's related to a lot of winners. Call Me Paris, Cause for Demand, Demands Attention, Phenomenons, Spacecraft, and Supply and Demand. The Group 3 Gloaming Stakes, won by David Payne's 3-year-old colt, Ace High. He's a son of High Chaparral out of a Redoute's Choice mare, Come Sunday. Sold for $130,000 at the 2016 edition of the Magic Millions. The Group 1 Golden Rose, over 1,400 metres, and an upset caused by the 40-1 shot Trapeze Artist from the Gerald Ryan Yard, a colt by Schnitzel out of a Doomsday mare, Treps. He beat home a star-studded field. Runner-up was Champagne Cuddles from the Bjorn Baker team, a filly by Not a Single Doubt out of a Snippets mare, Sky Cuddle. And Minari, the boom horse and stablemate to the winner, was third, a colt by Schnitzel out of a General Nadia mare, Is Urava. The Group 2 Golden Pendant, over 1,400 metres, and Ron Quinton enjoyed a much-deserved quinella, winning it with Daisy Doom, 5-year-old mare by Doomsday, out of a Mr. C mare, See a Victory. And his second place getter was Dixie Blossom, a 5-year-old mare by Street Sense, not offered at the yearling sales. Oh My Sword from the Chris Waller team was the third place getter in the Golden Pendant. A great day of racing in Sydney, but now much of the attention shifts to Melbourne. There were a number of black type races on the Caulfield card yesterday, including the listed Testarossa over 1,200 metres. And it was Bonds Away Too Good, a son of Bonhoeffer, 4-year-old gelding, out of a Mossman mare, Villa Albani. He's a relation to winners that include Brave Bow and Divine Design. The Group 3 MRC Foundation Cup over 2,000 metres produced a very talented horse, Harlem, a 6-year-old entire by Champs Elysees out of a Naif mare, Casual, not offered at the sales, is prepared by the Hayes team and looks destined for bigger and better things this spring. Race 8 was a Group 3 over 1,200 metres for the mares. Love this one, Savannah Amore. She's a lovely type and she won strongly yesterday. A 4-year-old daughter of Love Conquers All out of a Stravinsky mare, Savannah Lamar. She's in great form at the moment. She was sold at the 2015 English Classic Yearling Sales through the summer book for $100,000. She's a relation to winners Miss Jamaica and Young America. Legless Verve was runner-up, the four-year-old daughter of Pins, and Snowden Racing's Ravi, which was heavily backed to win the race, was third, five-year-old mare by Redoute's Choice.
RSN 927's Talking Horses with Joe McKinnon.
Great news this week for Thoroughbred Breeders Victoria and racing participants, with record stallion nominations for the Vobis sires in 2017. There's little more than 18 months until the running of the inaugural $1 million Vobis sires two-year-old race, and a record number of stallions have been nominated to the scheme. This has delighted the president of Thoroughbred Breeders Victoria, James O'Brien, who joins us on Talking Horses this morning. Hi, James.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
I'm very well. You must be buoyed by this news.
Oh, it's just tremendous news and really, really exciting. Looking forward to the first $1 million race.
Excellent numbers in so far as stallion nominations. Has it surprised you a little?
I think it's tremendous. It's actually, there's a lot goes on behind the scenes prior to the running of the first race. This is actually the third year that stallions have contributed to the scheme. So this... the current 2017 covers won't be, that'll be the third edition of the race by the time those yearlings or two-year-olds get to the racetrack.
And these nominations really illustrate, don't they, the value of this program?
Oh, it certainly does. And it's embraced, the whole Vobis program is embraced by one and all, and certainly with the Victorian Stallion Farms contributing to the sires scheme, it's just tremendous. As I said, that's the third year, and that's the record, 59 stallions. Every year has been over 50 stallions contributed for the last 2 years, and the first running will be next year. So, the year after next. So, really looking forward to it.
Yeah. So, breaking down the statistics around this, the Vobis sires numbers for 2017 are 59 stallions, a record, have been nominated for the 2017 breeding season. 19 stallion farms have nominated at least one stallion. $88,000 is, of course, the highest service fee of stallions nominated, which is that of Victorian champion sire Written Tycoon at Woodside. And yep. $1,100 is the lowest service fee of stallions nominated, which is for Lawyer at Oratar Park near Kerrang.
Sure. Well, the 59 stallions represent a wide and diverse range of stallions. So it's just absolutely tremendous, the support for Victorian breeding.
Really got all ends of the spectrum supporting this, haven't we?
We have, and it's just tremendous. And I think it's going to be a really terrific race to look forward to.
Yeah, and this year's list includes some first-season stallions, James, such as Palantino, St John, Frosted, Wolf Cry, Wade Zane, Rebel Dane and Swear, among others.
Oh, it certainly does. And it's just tremendous that as new stallions come to the region, that they're all inclusive and supportive of the breeding going forward. And it's exciting, the quality of stallions that are coming to Victoria.
And we can also throw into the mix names like Manhattan Rain and Zoo Star, and, of course, the Melbourne Cup winners Americane and Fiorente. Now, we had Colleen Bamford on the program last week, James, as a guest, to talk about the great success Americane's starting to have on the racetrack. This is good news, isn't it?
Oh, it is tremendous news. And I think next Wednesday at Flemington is the Derby trials and the Oaks trials, and I think there's a couple of Americanes nominated for those races. So it will be exciting.
So just to explain to our listeners how this Vobis sires race works, the progeny of all Vobis sires that have been nominated, the stallions that is, will be eligible to compete in what are two exclusive races run annually on the Victorian Owners and Breeders Race Day. The first of them is $1 million two-year-old race over 1,200 metres, which will be run for the first time in April 2019. And there's also a $500,000 three-year-old race run over a mile, and that will be run in April 2020.
That's right, Joe. So that's so basically the horses eligible for this exclusive race series will be the horses that are currently 1 year old now. That's the first that they'll be for the inaugural race. So those horses will be offered for sale at early next year, from January at the Magic Millions, right throughout next year. So It's going to be a really exciting time. Everyone knows that the Vobis brand on any horse, is particularly if you're racing in Victoria, is something to look out for. And we all know we can upgrade those horses, those Vobis horses, to Vobis Gold. And the rewards that go with the Vobis and the Vobis Gold badges are just absolutely tremendous. But with this case, with the Vobis size horses, and we will put things in the catalogue so that people know that these horses are also eligible for this exclusive race series, this $1 million race and $500,000 race for the three-year-old.
James, that's going to surely inject further interest from buyers in the next few years of yearling sales round.
Yes, I'm very hopeful of that. And, actually it's from the next round of yearling sales. This will be the first time that these horses are eligible for this exclusive race. So I'm hoping that trainers and syndicators will be specifically targeting horses that can run in this race and hopefully win the race. And certainly putting together owners to celebrate and enjoy this race. The race will be run on the Breeders and Owners Day, which started a few years ago. And it'll culminate to a race day for Victorian owners and breeders with prize money and money worth more than $3 million on a day.
Amazing. And, yep. Of course, before this lucrative sires races begin in 2019, Racing Victoria has also programmed exclusive Vobis Gold races, which you were instrumental in the development of, James, for Victorian sired horses in April. And now this season we've got a $310,000 race over 1,200 metres and another one of the same value over a mile for three-year-olds.
Certainly. And this is the introduction to the Vobis sires race series that we were just talking about. So these will be for Victorian sired horses only in that Vobis Gold category. So this is a introduction, if you like, to the $1 million and $500,000 race going forward.
Very clever idea. Now, there's a full list of the Victorian stallions nominated for the Vobis sires in 2017 on a website, which is vobissires.com.au.
Yes, that's right. So that's and as news develops, we'll keep everyone posted on those websites. So, yes, vobissires.com.au.
And how's the breeding season been treating you in general, James?
Oh, it's tremendous. We've had on our farm predominantly fillies, but people seem to prefer colts in the sales ring. But I'm not too sure why, because there's a lot of good fillies that run out there. But no, we're having a terrific season. So, I'm hopeful all the breeders in Victoria are likewise.
Yeah, everyone's having a few sleepless nights at the moment.
Well, sure. Well, Victorian breeding, we reflect on last year alone. We were responsible for 16 Group 1 wins throughout Australia. And I think that's just an outstanding result for Victoria. It's certainly the highest in recent times. And it just reflects on the quality of breeders and breeding within the region. And I think with the support of things like the Vobis program, with the support of, the quality of racing in Victoria, the investment into the region, we are standing on firm footing, and it's exciting, the times going forward.
And only recently we've had all the major farms hosting their annual open days, and they were a great success also.
Oh, tremendous. And it's just terrific to see, the new stallions standing for the first time. And it helps with your mating decisions, but also, the more proven stallions that have been around for a while, and just seeing how they're, letting down. And it's just a tremendous time of year.
James, nice to talk to you on Talking Horses. And that's great news about the record stallion nominations for the Vobis sires.
Thank you, Joe.
That's James O'Brien joining us. He's the president of Thoroughbred Breeders Victoria. Seapoy sired his first Australian Stakes winner last Saturday when Alizee powered home to win the Group 2 ATC T Rose Stakes. And he's got another horse that's likely to enjoy black type success before too long by the name of Regimen, coming out of a midweek race meeting win at Warwick Farm. Alistair Pulford from Darley joining us on Talking Horses this morning. Hi, Alistair.
Good morning, Joe. How are you?
I'm very well. You must be pleased with the success of Sepoy.
Absolutely. He seems to have turned the corner. This second crop, there's, I think, a few very handy fillies. Obviously, Elise is the standout so far. And she was impressive the other day, wasn't she?
Very. There'll be more in store for her this spring, you would imagine. Do you know what the likely plan is from this point on?
I think she goes from here to the Flight Stakes, and she'll be certainly one of the strong fancies in that race to give Sepoy his first Group 1 winner, and that'll be obviously madly exciting. Beyond that, that'll be obviously up to James in consultation with Joe Osborne and Sheikh Mohammed.
Melbourne an option, obviously?
It could well be. It could well be. She's been up a fair while, though, and I think the Flight was always going to be her spring option, her spring aim. So whether they go beyond that to 2,000 guineas and beyond is up for decision.
And it was a good performance by Regimen after racing up on the speed to beat the older mares.
Absolutely. I don't know that there's a huge amount between them. Regimen's very, very talented in her own right. She's just probably not as seasoned as Elise. And I think we've got a lot to look forward to with her as well.
And what else is coming through the ranks of the team by Sepoy at the moment?
Well, I think we had one trial. I think there's a couple of juveniles in the stable showing a lot of promise. So that's very encouraging. He covered four very good books in a row. We're only in the second crop's just turned three. So there's another two substantial crops to come. So he's his first crop was probably disappointing. Everyone had their eyes on them. They sold extremely well, didn't race accordingly, but that's happened before. He's no orphan there. And I think as time goes on and people learn, they don't seem to be just one-dimensional two-year-old sprinters, which is essentially how he made his name. But they seem to be training on, which is a great sign, and maybe getting over a bit of ground, a bit like his close relation, Kenny Ladd.
Yeah, and that's what put some pressure on Sepoy early. The expectations were high because he was such a good two-year-old. Many thought that his progeny would be the same, but it is seeming like they do need that little bit of time.
Yeah, I mean, certainly Elise, case in point. I mean, out of an Exceed and Excel mare, so you'd think she would have two-year-old ridden all over her, but it's as a three-year-old over a mile that she seems to be excelling.
He's done well in Europe.
He's done a very good job in Europe, and I think maybe more stamina in the mares there, and maybe they just trained them a slightly different, didn't try and train that two-year-old speed into them. They didn't have those preconceived notions that we did because they didn't see him race.
And he's had a winner in South Africa.
Yeah, so he's actually had winners. He's had winners in Asia, winners in South Africa, plenty of winners throughout Europe, and, of course, here and in New Zealand. So they're certainly winning all over the world.
And his fee remains reasonable at $16,500?
I think he's actually a bargain basement. He's a good punt horse this year because if they improve and he does get a couple of decent horses in this crop, people will be back on board, I'd say.
Okay. Well, that's good to see him getting some runs on the board, and it will be most interesting to see what Elise does over the next couple of weeks and whether she does a front up in Melbourne. What about the rest of the roster, which is pretty big? What have been the standouts outside of Sepoy of late for you?
Well, we're very pleased that Astern is firing on all cylinders. He's really nailing, getting his mares in foal very well. He's got a big book in front of him. He's a very popular horse. Obviously, we were very excited by Exceed and Excel's trials, the two-year-old trials at Canterbury last Monday. He was well represented by four winners. I think one that Gay Waterhouse was talking up was scratched the barriers. That might have made it five, but he had his fifth in Melbourne. So he looks like he's got a great two-year-old crop in front of him, does Exceed and Excel.
There's a number of new stallions on the roster.
Yeah, so other than Astern, we've got Frosted in Victoria, who's really a superstar horse. He's as good a racehorse as there's ever been imported from America. In fact, he is the highest rated horse ever to come here from America, according to the Bay of Speed figures, which is the American standard. He's a great-looking horse. Everyone who sees him loves him. He's a steely, dappled grey. He's a beautiful horse to look at, a beautiful mover. He's got quality, but he's got size and scope with it. And then Territories up in New South Wales, and the last line, Territories by the sire of I'm Invincible, out of the family of Street Cry and Shamadal. So just bred to succeed and was a Group 1 winner and Group 1 placed 2. And the last lion, who's a very smart two-year-old by the Australian sire, Schwarzier. So we've got a great lineup. And the other one I didn't mention, of course, was Holler, who's new in Victoria, Group 1 winner by command. So a great lineup of new horses. And also very excited to see the two-year-old trials, Epilate and Dawn Approach, who are two of our first season sires with runners this year, with first two-year-olds, both getting trial winners in the last week. So that's great news.
Yeah. And how's the operation overall at the moment, Alistair? Globally, there's been a lot of significant structural change and personnel changes. James Cummings now running the Godolphin Australia racing team. You're on the breeding side. How's that all working between the two?
Look, James is a great guy and a very communicative guy. So far, fantastic. My results on the track have been very good so far in just a short space of time. It's full steam ahead. We're very much, a lot of what we do is up to us. Obviously, we report closely to Joe Osborne and Sheikh Mohammed in turn. I think they're pleased with the way the operation is running down in the Southern Hemisphere.
Mm. And it's so important that both the breeding side, Dali, and Godolphin Racing in Australia work hand in hand and closely together, because James is responsible for helping shape the future of these sires that stand here in Australia with their progeny. He's got to get success with them.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. I mean, we don't have huge numbers of two-year-olds by our first season sires in the stable, but certainly we've got sort of half a dozen of each. And that gives you some indication, gives you a good guide. But on the nomination side, it's our responsibility to give the stallions as much opportunity as we possibly can at stud, and that incorporates all of our clients, who we're obviously very grateful to and really lean on their support in order to give these horses the best opportunity.
Mm. Alistair, great to catch up with you on Talking Horses, and lovely to see Sepoy getting some success down under now and matching some of the stats that he's getting in the Northern Hemisphere. And it looks like that filly or Alize and also Regimen both look destined for bigger and better things.
Let's hope so, Joe. Let's hope so.
Alistair Pulford from Darley. Well, Australian thoroughbred bloodstock in recent years have gone very close to winning Australia's greatest race, the Melbourne Cup, having had a fifth placing, a third placing and a second placing. Darren Dance joins us on the program this morning. Hi, Darren.
Morning, Joe.
Well, you're having another crack at it this year. You're bringing out a French stayer by the name of Tiberian, who arrives next Saturday on the first shipment of horses.
Yeah, that's right. He's our 2017 competitor after, unfortunately, we lost Heartbreak City earlier in the year through injury. And fortunate enough that we purchased Tiberian late last year as a project for the future. So he's come on really well.
He's an entire that's now won 3 of his 4 starts this campaign, and the only failure was in the recent Group 1 Grand Prix de St. Cloud over 2,400 metres.
Yeah, that's right. We purchased him in November, and it really is a 2018 project, but he's come on that well. He's right for this year and qualified. So, as you say, he's won all bar one start this year, and in that Group 1, he got into a lead battle with the Godolphin horse, and they just both went far too hard for far too long, and they both weakened out of it. And the trainer blamed himself for having the horse underdone on the day and too fresh, because he was mindful that the horse was coming to Australia for the Melbourne Cup and was just being a little bit easy on him, and he raced too fresh. So sort of got past that, and then he came out and won that Group 2 last start really well, sitting off the pace. And like I said to Alain, better to learn the lesson in June than in November.
Mm. Now, there's a very interesting story behind Tiberian, and that's around his sire. Can you explain to our listeners the background there?
Well, I'm pretty sure he was the only
Group 2 winner in the world that's been sired by a horse, even though he's a thoroughbred, that was used at a French stud purely as what's called a teaser. And the teaser's role is to check the mares before covering by the commercial stands to make sure they're ready to be covered. And so he was a non-commercial horse, Tiberius Caesar, and he was a tractor teaser. And so he'd tease up the mares to make sure they were ready for cover by the commercial side. And then at the end of each season, most studs would then give that teaser a mare to cover to keep their libido up for the following year. As you can imagine, it's a thankless job. So in this case, they gave him a Group 2 place mare to breed for a bit of fun and race in France. And, of course, you wouldn't believe it, but he covered one mare that year. And how comes Tiberian now a Group 3 and a Group 2 winner and en route to the Melbourne Cup? So I doubt that would have ever happened because most teasers are non-thoroughbreds, well, particularly here in Australia. They're non-thoroughbreds. They're ponies or, you know, whatever. So, yeah, it's like just come from total obscurity. If he happens to win the Melbourne Cup, it'll be an amazing story.
It will be. Now, what's happened to poor old Tiberius Caesar? Has he been elevated from the role of teaser at the stud?
Well, I think there's a little bit more interest in him now from everyone concerned. And it's just amazing, isn't it, Joe, in this game? You never know where a good horse is going to come from. And you can go to the sales and buy a $1 or $2 million yearling and it can be slow, or you can buy a $5,000 yearling and it can be a Group 1 winner. So this just illustrates that point that keeps everyone in the game because you just never know where the next good horse is coming from. So Tiberius Caesar's, he's been looked at in different eyes over there now.
What a fascinating story. Well, back to the horse himself. He's got to travel here and go through all of the rigours of that and then settling in to Australia. And as always, it's a real challenge for any horse to run well in a Melbourne Cup. But every time you've lined up with one, you've weighed in, which is pretty amazing. And then to go so close with Heartbreak City.
Yeah, look, you're right. It's hard enough to find a good horse that you can actually buy into. And as everyone knows, we bought 50% of this horse and the original owners have kept a half share, which is fantastic. I love it when you can buy a horse because it gives you some security that they believe in the horse as well and they just don't want to take the money and run. So it's very, very hard to find a horse that's physically, good enough, got enough class to, get to the race and be qualified and then buy it. And then that's kind of step one. And then really the travel component is the next big step. So, look, he's travelled a fair bit around Europe. He's travelled well to quarantine and he's settled in quarantine. And he's, for a stallion or a colt, he's really laid back. He's doing everything right in his work, but he's got to get on the plane. He's got to travel, as you say. And then, I won't be able to relax until probably 48 hours after he arrives, once he's been bedded, to make sure that, the key is not to lose too much weight. But I found in the last couple of years, IRT, who organise all the travel, do a really good job. And the planes have got air conditioning in them now for the horses, and they seem to all travel a lot better than what they were when, I bought Dandino and Jackalbury out. It was, they were stopping three times and opening up to let all the hot air out. So these air-conditioned planes are much better. The horses seem to travel a lot better, but there's no guarantees. So once he gets here, we'll find out how much weight he lost on the trip. Typically, they can lose anywhere from 5 to 15 kilos. When Heartbreak City came out, he actually put a kilo on. Somehow he put a kilo on, so don't know about that. But he travelled.
I can relate to that when I'm on long-haul flights. I'm sitting for a long time and eating and drinking to your heart's content, watching movies. You can put on a bit of weight.
You can't. I don't know what Heartbreak was doing, but, he's the only horse I've ever had to put on weight. But, look, if Tiberius can travel over and lose no more than 2 or 3 kilos and not be dehydrated or sick 48 hours after, we'll know we're in the game. And then really he's just got to settle in and eat and do his work and then, be in good form on the day. But you know, this is the Melbourne Cup. It's pretty much a challenge to get a horse in the race, let alone get a horse that can perform on the day. It's just so difficult. And, you know, when you see what Al Mandon did to him last week, you think, wow, you know, he's going to be tough to beat.
Mm. Well, whatever you've been doing in recent years, it's working. And good luck trying to go that one step closer to victory.
I think Lloyd's been standing in my way. It makes it very difficult. But anyway, look, we're having a go and, you know, we're just average people just battling away and we're having a crack. And that's what, you know, that's what the game's all about.
It sure is. Now, another horse you imported to Australia called Crackerjack King, he didn't make it to the Cups. That was the aim with him. But he only had four starts in Australia before his career was curtailed through injury. And one of his better performances was a third in the Underwood Stakes behind Forteller and Happy Trails. Now, he's been retired to stand at Wyndham Park Stud in Victoria this spring.
Yes. Look, he's a half brother to the horse we had called Jackalbury, who ran third in the Melbourne Cup some years prior, and we bought Crackerjack King. He was a little bit sort of a sharper horse. We weren't sure if he'd run the 2 miles. We thought he might be, you know, best a Cox Plate or Caulfield Cup horse. It was doubtful he'd be able to run the 2 mile being by Shamadale. It's an interesting story, Joe, because we bought the horse and settlement was on the Wednesday and he was entered in a Group 1 the day after. And for us to collect any part of that money, you know, the money had to be in their account. So we had to get the money from Australia to France via England. And I think the money went in on 4 o'clock on the Wednesday and the horse duly won a Group 1 on the Thursday. So it was a good start. We got a fair bit of that money back the next day, which is ridiculous, but that's what happened. Yeah, he campaigned over in England with Marco Boddy. And ran some nice races there. And then we brought him out to Australia and re-homed him with David Hayes. And David had him going really, really well. And if you haven't seen the vision of that race where he ran third to Forteller, I'd encourage you to go and have a look at it because I'd defy anyone to tell me that he shouldn't have won that race. He was, in fact, six wide the whole trip. And, you know, he ran amazing. He should have won that race. Mm. And he would have been probably standing for 20,000 somewhere if that had happened. But that's racing. We know that. But you won't believe it when you watch the replay, Joe. Mm.
So what will he stand at Wyndham Park?
He's standing for 6,000. So he's got foals. So he stood there last year and he's got foal on the ground. And Kim McCullough, who owns Wyndham Park, he's just delighted with the foals on the ground. They're just typical Shamadales. They've got good bone, good size, very correct. Just a great temperament. And this horse, you know, his pedigree is outstanding. Be one of the strongest pedigrees in the stud book of any horse standing in Australia. And, you know, Jackalbury had his first lot of yearlings go through Karaka last year, and one of them made over 400,000, you know, which is an amazing result for a staying horse, you know, in his first season. So I'm sure Crackerjack King's got every chance, and he's going to cover a good book of mares this year, including 6 or 7 from our farm. Mm. And he'll have every chance because we'll send the progeny to the best trainers in the land to give the sire every chance.
Yeah, he's a lovely type of horse, a big grey, perfectly conformed.
Yeah, he's a lovely animal. Unfortunately, he went amiss after that good run he put in on that hard track. But, look, his foals are great. I've got a couple of yearlings here. And, you know, at the end of the day, the horse had, you know, just 14 starts for 7 wins. And, you know, he was a Group 1 winner over 2,000 metres in Italy and, you know, third in the Underwood Stakes over 1,800. So, you know, he's going to be a real chance here with our mares. And, you know, Shamadale's such a proven line in Australia. But, you know, even through Luke De Vega, it's just, you know, a fantastic cross.
Mm. Nice to talk to you, as always, Darren. Good luck with the hopefully safe arrival of Tiberian next weekend in Australia and that quest to win the Melbourne Cup.
Joe, I just hope you want to talk to me in the second week of November.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let's hope we are. You've gone desperately close and, well, this horse, what an interesting story behind him as well. That would add to his mystique.
Thanks, Joe.
That's Darren Dance from Australian Thoroughbred Bloodstock talking to us on RSN 927. Of course, Crackerjack King now standing at Wyndham Park Stud here in Victoria this spring, and we're looking forward to the arrival of his latest import, Tiberian, from France next weekend. And that wraps up this week's edition of Talking Horses. I hope you enjoyed the program. Our thanks to special guests James O'Brien, Neil Werrett, Darren Dance, and of course Alistair Pulford from Darley. Until next time, take care. Bye for now.